Blog Talk Radio.
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to your feet right now! Oh! When the kingdom's up for violence, but the violence, take it! Take it! By force!
Greetings to everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your favorite, hopefully, favorite host, Five Smooth Songs. This is Brother Seth. I just want to thank everybody again for joining us. Thank you for your time. I'm going to talk a little fast because we actually had a mix-up on the show that we're going to be partnering with tonight, and that is none other than Ben Yisrael Synagogue. They have already started the show that we're supposed to be talking about tonight. Anybody remember what the show we're talking about tonight is all about? It is going to be about Edomites. This whole talk about Edom or Edomite being Caucasian, it's very important that we have our facts straight in this. As the Most High is resurrecting Israel and shedding light on the true people of the book, he is going to be using a remnant of that people, those that are obedient spiritually. And so we is very important. We know who we are and whose we are. Now, I know this is according to the flesh, but the Most High is looking for the Israelites that is going to seek him by spirit and from the heart. And so this is what he's interested in, not so much in natural Israel. Yes, he has resurrected natural Israel. Yes, he is the Valley of the Dry Bones. If that prophecy has been fulfilled, yes, the Most High is strongly making it known on the planet about these 12 lost tribes. They are no longer lost. We have come into it full knowledge of who they are, where they are, by way of Deuteronomy 28 prophecies. So we believe that anybody about those prophecies is true Israel. And so it's very important we not call Caucasians Edomites, because in much due respect and love for our white brothers and sisters, so-called white brothers and sisters, y'all know I don't believe in that concept, but the so-called people that we call white, nothing more than us without pigmentation. It's all it is, really. We're told we're one nation. But anyway, we're going to join up with Ben Yisrael Synagogue, okay? Again, this is Five Smooth Stones you tuned into. We have blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstone. That's blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstone. That's 5 smooth stones. Don't forget the underscore. Because there was a time mix up, and they've actually started an hour ago, because I was quoted East Coast time and nobody told me that it was actually, I wasn't told that it was East Coast. I automatically assume if somebody say 9 o'clock to me, it's 9 o'clock our time. So anyway, they've already started and they're expecting me to call and give my input on this whole Edomite conversation. So unfortunately, the listeners that's listening to the show right now has missed a lot of information. So we're going to go ahead and join them very, very shortly. And I just want to thank everybody for your patience on this. I do apologize that we did drop the ball like that, but that's what happened when you don't get clear direction. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and tune into that show. And if you have any questions, as usual, don't forget you can just simply press 1 on the phone and we'll zero into you and see what questions you have, if time permits. If you have questions in the chat room, feel free to go ahead and just ask your questions in the chat room, okay? But this is very serious conversation, everybody, very serious, and we are asking everybody to be patient with this process because we just had no idea that they had already started an hour ago. So I'm going to go ahead and do the conference call into them now, right now. This is going to be Ben Yisrael Synagogue, and I'm going to do what we call a conference call. If this phone is even going to let me, folks. At all. With me. But anyway, while I'm getting this, chewing this number up, let me just remind everybody to don't forget to, please, folks, don't forget to go to our blog. www.blogtalkradio.com, and to the right of the picture of the profile page of my profile picture, there is a link to my library. These are books that have talked about the very things we're going to share here in a little bit. So, again, go to the front page, blogtalkradio.com, and that's then /5_smooth_stones, and you want to go there and simply click on that link that says Google, and this way you'll get a list of all of the books, well, not all of the books, but a lot of the books that have inspired me over the years and that have brought much facts to even the conversation we're talking about tonight. So if you go to that library, you're going to get even more information about what we're sharing tonight. Now, so as I try to get them on the line, anybody have any questions in the chat room, feel free to ask them. I'm going to try. This is their show. Well, it's actually both of our shows, so I'm kind of at their mercy because I'm going to call into their phone like a regular caller, and yet I'll be with you. So it'll be all of us on one line, and so this is the first time we've ever tried this, so hopefully this will be successful, all right? Hopefully it will be successful. So that's what we're trying to do right now. And I think
of the Jews was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then call.
Okay, I'll pause right here. What we're going to do is we're going to try to crush two doctrines right now with the same understanding. As we're looking at this, you see that unclean animals was let down in this sheet. This is a vision that the Most High has given Peter to let him know. We're going to find out later, to accept these people. Now, if a lot of these camps are teaching that the Gentiles in the New Testament are only the northern kingdom of Israel, well, we were specifically told to go and teach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the northern kingdom. You don't need no special type of unclean animals to come down and tell you to go and teach the truth to your other brothers. These are not other Israelites that just from the northern kingdom. We didn't look at our fellow brothers like they were unclean or anything like that. That makes no sense. That has no understanding. These are the descendants of Japheth, which, again, from Genesis to Revelation and the Apocrypha and all scriptures, the descendants of Japheth were treated totally different than the descendants of Ham and the descendants of Shem. And this is part of what we're seeing here. That's why he said, go with them, doubting nothing. Now, if they were just some Israelites from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Issachar, and things of that sort, the Most High never would have had to give them all this vision to say, unclean animals, unclean dogs, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He's going to wake up and say, what does this vision mean? Well, it only means that I meant for you to go and teach these people. That makes no sense. We always went to our brothers, fellow Israelites. Okay, so go ahead.
Brother Terry?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you got other people just all of a sudden hear my voice, and then they hear your voice, and I just want them to just know that what's happening here. We didn't hear you when you said welcome, so just so if you don't mind, just welcome. You got several people now just picked up the last 10 words that you said, so I just wanted to let them know that we have joined with Ben Yisrael Synagogue on this subject about Edomites. Y'all have already missed quite a bit of good information, and hopefully Brother Terry is going to continue to hopefully Brother Terry is going to recap some of the information you went over earlier. I know you went over a lot, my brother. I was just listening, and I almost didn't want to do what I have to do to click in everybody else because I was enjoying it. So Terry, please, if you could, do some kind of little recap to bring some other people that have no clue of what angle you're coming from at this moment, okay? So,
very quick recap at the end, and then, you know, whatever they don't get, they can always archive the show. So I'm going to try to just go ahead and move through this so we can get to the other portions of the show.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so go ahead, Brother John. Pick up where you left off.
Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how it is not an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into, unto one of another nation.
Good. But so again,
told me
that Cornelius was a fellow Israelite. But he said, you know that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company with one of another nation. I'm addressing different things, which I say when my brother made the post, and it was a lot of different things said. And one of the brothers said, well, Cornelius was a fellow Israelite and things of that sort. But he just stated, it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company of one of another nation. So how could Cornelius be an Israelite, but just from the northern kingdom, but Peter's from the southern kingdom? That makes no sense. That's only because these people want to try to say that Israel is the only nation that can receive salvation. That's not true. You can't prove that in line upon line, precept upon precept through these scriptures. All nations can receive salvation. Israel is the Almighty special chosen people, yes. Israel is the people the Most High made the covenants with, but we're not the only people that the Most High has extended the arm of salvation to. So go ahead, Otten.
But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and that's the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard
very, very clear. From all of this all the way down, we could clearly see that Peter is dealing with one of another nation. Now, our people were astonished because the Gentiles also received the Holy Spirit. Which Gentiles? It's dealing with the descendants of Japheth here, the Euro-Gentiles, okay? The European Gentiles, the descendants of Japheth, okay? Then it says in verse 46, for they that heard him spake with tongues and magnified Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Sovereign, and prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now they wanted him to stay certain days. This is not any act of Israelites going to some other Israelites. The Most High would have never had to show them all them visions, okay, to say accept these people, okay? And he clearly said one of another nation. Now, look at how they were treated. Look at everything the Most High had to do to get Peter to even go to these people to teach them the truth. Well, that never happened with the descendants of Ham. That never happened with the other descendants of Shem. All through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, if any descendant of Ham came to us, we would teach those people. If another descendant of Shem came to us, we would teach those people. Only when the descendants of Japheth, who had white skin, okay, the descendants of Japheth have white skin, have leprosy, those are people that our people were very reluctant to teach, were very reluctant to even believe that these people could be any way connected with the Most High. And this is what we're seeing here. Let's look at some more examples. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 7. We're going to read verses 25 through 28. We're going to see just how this matches up.
And it reads, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
Very good. He said to a descendant of Japheth, and now even the Messiah is reluctant to heal this woman's daughter. Why? Because the descendants of Japheth were always treated differently. You know, that never happened with the other descendants of Shem and the descendants of Ham. It says clearly in verse 26 that the woman was a Greek. Who did the Greeks descend from? If we go back to Genesis 10, which we did earlier, verses 1 through 5, somewhere in there you'll see the name Javan, J-A-V-A-N. Javan is the Hebrew word, or not exactly Hebrew, but that's how they translate. Javan is the Greeks. Okay? So she was a descendant of Japheth. And the Messiah was reluctant to heal her daughter because he said, the children must be fed first, meaning the children of Israel. I came to heal those people. I came for those people. Okay? So now let's continue to precept this thing through. Let's go to first address.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead, Op.
Oh, I just wanted to let you make a note of the time frame. It's almost 10:30.
Right, yeah, I see it. If we need to stay over a little bit, I'll stay over a little bit and let the callers on. Any callers have questions, comments, you're going to get to make any questions or comments you want, but I want to do this thing in completion. You know what I mean? I don't want to, I just want to do it in completion and, you know, just cover everything we needed to cover. But, yeah, we don't really have too much longer. Hopefully we'll be done in the next, like, 15 minutes.
Okay, because remember you got two more presentations to go. You got Seth and as well as my part about the issue of Japheth's descendants.
Okay, okay. And, yeah, if y'all don't mind staying over, you know, we'll definitely stay over if we need to so we can get this thing done and, you know what I mean, like it was a lot of uproar. We want to definitely get it done and show, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, that color thing, who is Esau, who is not. So,
okay.
So, yeah, would you be able to stay over if need be?
Well, yeah, Seth's show actually started at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so his show is just, started, he had the two-hour show. His callers are going to, I'm sure they're going to be there because they want to hear the show. Hear
9 o'clock Central Time.
Okay, and as for the callers on our show, of course, we will be at 2 hours, so we don't want to belabor them too long, so we'll still want to give time for them if they have questions and answers. So I'm assuming that our show will probably go over at least a minimum of an hour.
Right, okay, okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll try to get it done as quick as possible. We'll just pop.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we're at first address, chapter 5. We're going to read verse 29 in the Apocrypha. First address, 5 and 29. It says, the servants of the temple, the sons of Esau, the sons of Asaphah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Siras, and the sons of Sud, the sons of Phalas, the sons of Labana, the sons of Gribba. So why do we go there? We go to the Apocrypha, the book of First Esdras, chapter 5, verse 29, and it says clearly, the servants of the temple, the sons of Esau. Now, why are Esau the servants of the temple? Why do we have the Edomites working in the temple if the Edomites are white? If the Edomites are white, why are they working in the temple? Because lepers don't come in the temple. Lepers are not allowed in the temple. Okay? Now let's match this up with the book of Acts, chapter 21 and verse 28. Brother John, Acts 21 and 28. Can you read that for me, Al?
Okay. Acts 21 one moment. And it reads, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place.
So good. So it says in the book of Acts that Paul was accused of bringing who? Greeks. Greeks are, again, the descendants of Japheth. He was accused of bringing Greeks into the temple, and they said he hath polluted the holy place. Why? Because they were white going in the temple. So if we're teaching that the Edomites are white, but the Edomites were the servants of the temple in the Old Testament because they were not white. They were red, the same color as King David, the same color as the first man, Adam, the same color as us on the phone, the same color as most of y'all listening. If y'all are so-called Israelite, we have a reddish color of the earth, even if we're lighter brown or darker brown. It's just the different colors of the earth. That red is earth tone red. So, again, refer back to the pictures, what we have on the screen, and just put everything together. When we said, when the Most High said in, I believe, Numbers 19, when the Most High commanded Moses and Aaron to get a red heifer or red cow for the purification of the temple, nobody drug a white cow in there. Nobody 3,000 years ago came with a white cow. They came with a red cow. And if we stand, most of us stand next to them red cows, we're a very close color of those red cows or red heifers. Okay? So, again, said that Paul bringing those Greeks to the temple polluted the holy temple. The white people were not allowed in the temple. Okay? So again, let's stay in this book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 35. Then I got to have a couple more, and we can get to the other.
Okay.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet.
Now watch what happens. Now, this is another apostle, but now he's meeting a descendant of Ham. He's meeting the Ethiopian now. And notice, the Most High didn't have to give him any type of vision of unclean animals in order for him to address or want to teach or be with this Ethiopian. Go ahead, Art.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto
the
certain one.
And all he had to do, he went right to this man who was an Ethiopian, descendant of Ham. He didn't need no type of special vision. The Spirit told him go, and he went. But when the Spirit told Peter to go to these white boys, to these Euro-Gentiles, Peter was so hesitant. Like, he didn't want to go. Because in the Old Testament, the descendants of Japheth were not around us. We were around the descendants of Shem and the descendants of Ham. The descendants of Japheth were not around us. They're nowhere to be found in the Old Testament. No people with white skin are in the Old Testament outside of the curse of leprosy or the plague of leprosy. It's a difference, a plague and a curse. But we're not going to really deal with that right now. Okay, let's look at a couple more verses before we finish this up. I want to look at now. Actually, what I wanted to, I'm going to just quote it. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to let you know where it is. This is a outside of biblical source. This is taken from Josephus. The book that I have is called The Antiquities of the Jews. It's in book number 1, chapter 18, verse number 270. And what it says, remember Josephus was an ancient Israelite historian. And what Josephus said about Jacob and Esau's birth, he said that they had all things in common except for their hair texture. It said they were twins and everything else they had in common. So if they had everything else in common, that means their skin color was in common. He said their hair texture was the only thing that was different, but they had everything else in common as far as their looks. So you can look that up yourself. Now let's read two more verses and we'll be done. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is a very, very key verse to this understanding, this whole understanding of who Jacob is and who, not who Jacob is, of who Esau is and who the Gentiles are, the Euro-Gentiles. This is very, very key of who the fake Jews are, because a lot of our people are teaching that the fake Jews are the descendants of Edomites. The Messiah is going to tell us exactly who they are. Revelation 2, 8 and 9 are.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Okay, good. Now, we all know this verse. We all go there all the time. But let's really, really break it down now. Verse 8 says, and unto the angel of the church, when we see church, that's from the Greek word ekklesia. It just means the people. To the angel, to the people in Smyrna, write, thus saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, what is he saying to the people of Smyrna? He's saying, I know thy works. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. You are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So he's telling those people, this is a prophecy here. I know your blasphemy, but you are rich. And I know that you're saying you are Jews, but you are not. Now, did he say he's saying this to the Edomites? No, he said it to Smyrna. So we got to wonder, well, who is Smyrna? Let's look it up. I have a Folk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia. And if I look up the word Smyrna, it says this. It says it was formerly called Smyrna. It says it's presently called Izmir, I-Z-M-I-R. Then it says it's a city and seaport in western Turkey, capital of Izmir Province. Okay, so I could read a little more, but that's just what I wanted to get. Smyrna is a city in western Turkey. The Edomites are not from western Turkey, okay? Now, if I take that same understanding and I pick up the same encyclopedia, Funk and Wagnalls, and I'm going to look up Khazars, because we know the fake Jews that claim to be us, they descend from the Khazar Empire. It says Khazars, an extinct Turkish people who flourished from about A.D. 200 to about 950, living at first in the region of the Caucasus Mountains. And then when I drop down, it goes on to say, a Gregorian people in the 7th century, their king, our sovereign, embraced Judaism. Those were the people in 740 A.D. that converted to the religion of Judaism and started claiming themselves to be us. But it says the Khazars are a Turkish people, and the Messiah's prophecy clearly said that the people who are calling themselves Jews and are not, he called them Smyrna. Smyrna is an ancient word for Turkey. Presently today, it's called Izmir. Okay? And the Khazars come out of Turkey. He prophesied the exact group of Euro-Gentiles that were going to start calling themselves Israel. Okay? He didn't say they're Edomites. Edomites are from Sham. Edomites is a totally different people. All right, we're going to read one more verse and we'll be done. Jeremiah 49, we're going to read verse 7 through 16. And actually, I'm going to put one definition with that, and we'll be done. Jeremiah 49, 7 through 16.
And it reads, concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken, and art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador sent unto them, saying, gather ye together and come up against her, and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of rock, that holdest the height of the hill, thou though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also,
okay,
Edom shall be a...
That's good right there. So it says, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. Because most people go to the scriptures talking about the Edomites dwelling in caves, and all they know is their European history, know that the Europeans dwelt in caves. But this is specific to not just any caves on earth. This is not talking about the caves in Europe. This is not talking about the caves of the Caucasus Mountains. This is called, talking about the caves in the land of Edom, or the land of Esau, Mount Seir, the land of Teman, Edomia. If we know about the land of Israel and the lands close nearby, there are many caves there. There are a lot of caves, and people always dwelt in caves around that time. So, again, this is dealing with the true Edomites who are from what they call the Middle East, not in Europe, and they also dwelt in caves. And if we read one definition from the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, it says about caves, a hollowed-out place in the earth, whether formed by nature or by man. In Palestine, where there is much limestone, caves are likely to be quite numerous. This is talking about the caves near the land of Palestine, or in the Palestinians. Caves were often used for regular human habitation, for hiding from the law or from enemies in warfare, for securing precious treasure, such as Dead Sea Scrolls, for storehouses and cisterns, for stables and cattle, and for burial. Then it gives a couple scripture references, Genesis 19 and 30, 1 Kings 19 and verse 9. So that's the conclusion of my portion. So again, a brief recap for the people that have joined us late. This whole thing, we're just teaching that Esau are the Palestinian people, because those people are native to very, very close by the land of Israel. Their land was very close by the land of Israel. They always been in their land. They never left their land as a whole. That's why when we left the land of Israel, they always went into it. Brother Gary covered a lot of prophecies last week. That's why I didn't touch a lot of those, like Ezekiel 35. We're also looking at the people said that Esau was the white man, but the scripture says Esau was red. Well, the scripture also says that King David was red. But they'll teach you that Esau was, and when it says Esau was red, it really means he's white. But when it says King David is red, then he's really black. Come on, that don't make any sense at all. We're asking the people to just stay consistent with the reading of the scriptures. And brief recap, but to go into further details, just archive the show when you can at your leisure sometime this week, and you'll be able to hear the whole lesson in its entirety, which proves beyond a shadow of a doubt Esau is not the white man. So go ahead, Ock.
So, hey, great lesson, good teaching, very thorough, very explicit, very detailed. A few notes, and I'm going to get right into my portion. I should be finished at no longer than 10 after, and then we'll get set the time for him to make his presentation, and then we'll move right into the question and answer portion of this particular aspect of the show today. The show is proven, yes, it's lengthy, but we're covering a lot of significant issues. Just to give people a little bit of history, especially Seth callers, and also we want to those who are the followers and congregants of Five Smooth Stones, we welcome you to Ben Israel Synagogue. We didn't get an opportunity to do that at the beginning of the show because there was a conflict in the time scheduling of the show. Brother Seth and myself were operating under the fact that we are on Central Time. So when we made the timing, we didn't clarify as to being Eastern or Central Time. So it's not that you all are late. It's just the fact that we had a confusion of the scheduling of the shows. But we welcome you. We thank you and for this opportunity to minister to you the words of life and to also have Seth join us in this conversation, which is a very lively conversation dealing with issues that go through the crux of whenever you're dealing with the issue of lineage in the Bible. Some people say that the scripture doesn't deal with lineage. Well, anybody who makes that conversation, either you are not being you're being disingenuous, because if you have any understanding of the Old Testament, you know the Old Testament begins out dealing with the issue of lineage and with the distinction of people groups. So with that said, I'm going to jump right into my portion. And the background is that I put a posting up 2 weeks ago which basically said that every time I see someone posting that Edom is a white man, I'm going to come right behind them and post the truth. Because the truth of the matter, as Brother Yahshua just so clearly delineated from Scripture, is that Edom is not the white man. Edom is the brother of Israel. He is not the half-brother of Israel. He is the full brother of Israel. He says that in her womb was two twins and two nations. And it made a distinction. And they were actually, and for all parts and purposes, evidently, according to Josephus, is that they were all very similar, almost like identical twins. The distinction was that Edom was more hairier. So the whole the objective of this teaching is to clarify who Edom is. It's to clarify who Japhet is, because we believe that Japhet is the progenitor of those who became, and I emphasize the word became, the Caucasians of the earth today. Caucasians make up probably less than 8 to 10% of the world population, but because we are a minority living in a world that is majority populated by the world's minority, we are under the impression that, you know, white people are up on the tens of, up on the billions in the earth today, and they're actually not. There is not even a billion white people on the planet today. If you add them all up in every place that they're at, and there are almost 7 billion people on the planet. So we have to get clarification. And also, I just made, he alluded to the fact of the things that have taken place with Edom and some of the things that have taken place with those we know as Caucasians, and that there are some similarities. Well, guess what? If you match any two group people, you're going to find similarities. But what the issue is motivation. Are those who's teaching that Edom is the white man, is the motivation behind that particular form of thought or theology, is the root cause of that racism? I believe it is. I believe it is because those who hold to that, and they hold to that religiously, also espouse some very unorthodox, some very unbiblical views about the issue of who can be saved, the issue of salvation. When the Scripture clearly says that the Most High, the Messiah, I mean not the Most, but the Messiah, will even be a light unto the Gentiles. If you go throughout Old Testament prophetic scriptures, you'll find numerous occasions referencing the Gentiles and as in the promise of them being able to partake of salvation. The Apostle Paul referred to them as that engrafted in branch. They were not a part of the original branch, but they were grafted in. So to bring clarity, it's a few points we need to take and understand in consideration after listening to Brother Yeshua's teaching, and I think it was a very thorough teaching. And I think that he hit a lot of issues that, of course, I missed last week, but that is our job to do when we teach. We try not to be repetitive in teaching the same thing that the other one has taught. But if we feel that there is something that's been left out that is of significance for people to understand, to know, that they can have a clearer grasp and understanding and comprehension of the Scriptures, then we have to pick up the slack each for it. And he did that today. One of the things that I want to say is this, is that for those people who are Tanakh only, meaning the first five books of the Bible, the law, and the prophets, if you are Tanakh only, and I would say this, I would admonish you to make certain that those who teach you, the Scripture says, know those who teach you, know those who labor among you. It's important to know that. It's important to know what they're about, and it's also important to know what their background is when it comes to teaching the word of the Most High, because I find that a lot of people have taken upon themselves to be teachers. They went, but they were not sent. And it's evident by the things that they teach, because a lot of the things that they come up with are just the obvious mistakes that you make when you're interpreting scriptures that basically novices make, because these people have not been sent by the Most High. And I'm not saying that that's to everybody. I'm just being clear that there are some out there. There are many people who are unlearned teaching but do not have the Holy Spirit. Now, hey, if you're unlearned, you're unlearned. The people who furthered this message were unlearned people. But we also know that they have been had a visitation and a impartation and an indwelling of the person, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh. So that makes a significant difference. So if you're unlearned and you also do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit, because you do not acknowledge the Messiah, because the Messiah is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, then that means that you have two strikes against you coming in and teaching the word of the Most High. And actually I would say three, because first, you haven't been commissioned. Two is you don't have the one teaching you who is the illumination of the scriptures, and that's the Holy Spirit. So those are things of significant fact. And let me say this, that whenever we're dealing with prophetic scriptures, we must understand them in the correct timeline context, which is what Brother Yeshua laid out very clearly today when he read from the book of Obadiah. He very clearly showed through scriptures that some of the things that refer to in Obadiah are now for us as a people living in the 21st century, 2011, they are past tense. They have already taken place. keep in consideration when we're dealing with the Torah and the prophets, the Tanakh. We are dealing with that which is a historical document. It is not a history of the, it's not world history. It is a history of a people that the Most High selected and whom to extend and to show forth and be priests unto the nation, that he may extend salvation to all who would be willing, reconciling man back unto the Most High. That is the objective, the original intent for Israel, for you all who have forgotten. It is not to be some little isolated group over to the side who does not interact or interexchange with other people without within the world and within society. He called us to be a holy priest, a nation of priests to the world. We were to show forth the goodness of the Most High, that those who seek him may find that he can be found and reach out to him. If you've gotten away from that, you're not an Israelite. You are only an Israelite by ethnicity. Simple as that. You are not what would be considered is a true Jew indeed. Other thing to be considered, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Nehemiah and Esther are historical documents. Esther, I'm sorry. You have to understand that those are historical documents dealing with the people of Israel and their relationship with the Most High and their relationship and association with those people who they moved amongst. You will find in Scripture that there's nobody mentioned in Scripture unless they had some form of association, whether it be directly or indirectly, with Israel. So, and the prophetic writings of Isaiah and Malachi coincide with the events and the time period of those historical books, from 1st and 2nd Kings, Chronicles, all the way to Esther. So when you read prophecies, you have to understand and make certain that those prophecies have not been fulfilled if you are speaking prophetically of that which is progressing towards the future. So to say that many of the prophecies in Esau and apply them towards the white man incorrectly, trying to apply them towards Edom, well, as my brother just clearly showed forth in Scripture, many of those events have already taken place, as well as those who are written in the Apocrypha. And the Apocrypha, for the most part, is not a doctrinal thesis. It is not the closed canon. It is, in most parts, it is historical. And it deals with the events that have taken place within our people and sometimes the things that are to take place within our people, and also how we are to behave amongst ourselves and when we're in the midst of other nations. So you have to understand all of those things when you're reading the Scriptures. The Scriptures is not some, you know, Tom and Mary book that you pick up and read at the store. That's how come the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but one that rightly divides the word of the Most High. Study thyself to be show thyself approved, first of all, unto who? Unto Elohim, unto Yahweh. If you haven't been sent, you need not be teaching, because all you're doing is taking the people who are already devastated by the social context that they live in, and all you're doing is bringing them into confusion. It is the blind leading the blind. So the subject of today's whole teaching was to bring a clear distinction between understanding who Edom is and also who Ashkenazi Jews are. And so Edom, as my brother just showed clearly, is a sub-Arabian. Edom, if you want to know where he is right now, Edom is in Israel. The only people who fit the descriptions according to what my brother has set forth in Scripture, and he is only repeating what Scripture, because for the most part he had Brother John to read the Scriptures, and the Scriptures spoke for themselves. The only people who fit the descriptions of who Edom could be, and they're supposed to be in the land of Jerusalem in the end time, are the Palestinians. They're the people who fit the physical characteristics, they fit the historical characteristics. So I want to begin with a verse of Scripture, and it's Amos 9-12. So we know according to Scripture and anthropological history, there is only a remnant of Edomites in the earth today. We know that for the most part, they have all but decimated. Amos 9:9 reads, "For lo, I will command, and I will set the house of Israel among all nations." That means that this is a Scripture that's taken place, the events that have taken place after 70 A.D. Because prior to that time, we were not in all nations. But as fulfilling of the prophecy that the Messiah spoke in Luke 21-24, he said, "You should be led captive to all nations." It says, so picking back up at Amos 9:9, "Like as corn is sifted as a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people, who people is he speaking for? Who is his firstborn? Who is the apple of his eye?" He's talking about Israel. Selectively chosen for a duty, to be a priest to the nations. We know that we're chosen, but now many of us have forgotten what our duty and responsibility is. We think it's to condemn the white man to hell, and you've missed the mark. All the sinners of my people should die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. It's not even talking about, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess. Now, right there, when it's talking about the tabernacle of David, it's literally not talking about a physical building. It is talking about a people. It is talking about a house, meaning when you say the household of Ellison, that means everybody within this household. That's not speaking of this physical edifice in which we inhabited. So when it says the tabernacle of David that has fallen and closed up the breaches thereof, and we know that there are many breaches amongst our people right now, we are scattered even among those who come to the revelation that we are Israel. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. I emphasize the word remnant because if you read through any history about Edom, you'll find out that after 70 A.D., they were not even referred to in geological, geographical, anthropological studies for the most part because they had all been decimated. It says, so therefore, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of the heathen which are called by my name. That word heathen, if you find its root meaning, the word in the Hebrew is from the same word in which we get Gentiles going. My brother made a reference to that earlier when he was covering Genesis chapter 10. All of the heathen which are called by my name. What name? The name of Yahweh. The name of Yahweh, if you will. And who in the land of Israel right now are being looked on upon the world and being perceived is the children of the Most High Elohim. It is Ashkenazi Jews. So we have two people groups, the remnant of Edom. They're supposed to be in Israel. And the heathen, the Gentiles, which are called by my name. We know those are they who say they are Jews but are not. So we know from the study that we've done last week, from the study that my brother concluded this week on Edomites, because I'm not going to discuss the Edomites. He has clearly, he showed in detail. And I would say also to the listeners of Five Smooth Stones, if you have the opportunity, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and go Ben Israel Synagogue, Yahshua, or you can go to the Facebook of Israel Now, the Facebook of Gary Ellison, and you will find today's teaching there posted after this teaching is concluded. You can archive and pick up what you missed from my brother Yahshua when he over his first hour of teaching. So, but he showed clearly who the Edomites are from Scripture. Another thing I want to make a note of is that those who try to distinguish and delineate that Edomite is the white man, none of these people can prove you or show you concrete scripture to prove their point. All those who do so always go to extra-biblical sources, secondary sources. Well, guess what? If we're supposed to be the children of Israel and we have a book written for us and by us, then why is it necessary that we go first begin with secondary sources? We begin with the scriptures, and then secondary sources are only used to clarify that which is presented in scriptures. And if you do that, I guarantee you'll not arrive at the conclusion that Edom is a white man. If you arrive at that conclusion, then you do not have much past a third grade education. That's not to put down on, but that's just reading the scripture simply for what it says. Don't read anything to it. Don't imply into it those things which you presuppose to be true because of what you've heard and what you've been taught. Strip your mind naked and make your mind ready before the Holy Spirit and then read the scriptures and you will come to the conclusion that Edom could not be this Caucasian, this European that we're calling the white man. Edomites are sub-Arabians and the only people we can possibly identify as Edomites according to biblical prophetic scriptures are the Palestinians. Palestinian is a generic term applied to them by Europeans and according to the land, Palestine, they have inhabited for over 1,500 years. That's right, I said 1,500 years. We know that the Muslim caliph rolled into Jerusalem in the 7th century, shortly after the death of Muhammad, and they took Jerusalem for their own. They maintained occupation of Jerusalem all the way up into 1099 when the Crusaders rolled in and took Jerusalem for the Christian community. We know 2 centuries later, those Muslims, Islam, rode right back into Israel and took over it again. The Palestinians have been there for 1,500 years. I was listening to a teaching presentation by a Israeli scholar, a professor of history in Israel called Shlomo Sand, wrote a book called The Invention of the Jewish People, and where he basically had come to the conclusion He said that if anybody could be Jewish within this land because of the time that they've been there, the only people who meet their criteria are the Palestinians. As a matter of fact, he said that it is 10 times more likely that they could be a Jew before I could be a Jew. And that's just because of the time that they've been in the land. So we have the remnant of Israel, the remnant of Esau, the remnant of Edom, in the land of Palestine, which we know to be Israel. Okay, so the Romans changed the land to Palestine. The name, in actuality, the land is known in the scriptures as Canaan. Subsequently, it became Israel. The Romans, when they took over Judea and occupied the land, they changed the name to Palestine. And that's where you get the generic term Palestinians. There is no such thing as an ethnic Palestinian, because the Palestinian is the title of a land. It's not the name of a people. No more such thing as there is such thing as an ethnic American. All people here are migrants from other places throughout the world. Nobody can claim an ethnicity arriving from the people who were first native to this land of America. Likewise with the Palestinians. Now, the Ashkenazi so-called Jews are Gentiles in Jerusalem who are called by Yahweh's name. Okay, the Ashkenazis are descendants of Japheth. We'll prove that in scripture from which they derive the name Ashkenazi, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiriz. And the sons of Gomer, the first name that's listed is Ashkenaz and Rephta, and then Tagamor. It's now being, because they're... now backpedaling off of the truth that's in the scriptures, many are now claiming that they are from Tagamor. I think that's a stupid thing to do because they're still from the descendants of Japheth. So I'm going to read a scripture here. I know Brother John is tired. He's been reading scripture. I'll cover these three scriptures. And he said, Genesis 9:26-27. And he said, "Bless be the Lord, the Yahweh Elohim of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Elohim shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." We know that when you look at the Paleo-Hebrew, when you look up the word enlarge, the word that should have been selected should have been the word entice or deceive. So that means that Elohim shall entice or deceive Japheth, who is the father of the European Caucasian race, and they should dwell in the tents of Shem. We know Shem to be the patriarch of what came to be the Hebrews, what came to be Israelites. And what was broken off in the southern kingdom came to be known as Jews. So we know that those people, the descendants of Japheth, a Caucasian people, a European people, will one day will dwell in the tents or the land of Shem, which is Jerusalem, Israel, and Canaan shall be his servant. Genesis 10:1-5, read, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madiah, Javan, and Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rephta, Kagamor, and the sons of Javan, Elish, Tarshish, Kittim, Dunam. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations." Now, as my brother alluded to, as you know, he made clear reference to in the beginning of his teaching, that if you look up the word nations, that was used throughout this 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll find that in every other occasion, for every people, it used the word nations. But when it came for the people, those who would inhabit the isles of the Gentiles, it used the word Gentiles. I would say that for the most part, the reason that word Gentiles is used there is because it is on the translator's part, and what they wanted to bring an impact to or emphasize is that when it says, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles written," it was talking about them. Who translated the King James 1611 Bible? Obviously, King James did. Who was he a king of? He was a king of England. Where is England? England is in Europe. So the only conclusion that we can draw from this, for any other reason for them to use the word Gentile as opposed to the word nation, is for them to make a distinction that the people being referred to in Genesis 10:3 is speaking about them. Because we see that right then in the same verse of scripture, it says, divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. So you have to question why they used Gentiles, the sentence before, because it was making a clear distinction to the people who were translating these scriptures, speaking a part of them, and they were Gentiles, Europeans. Genesis 10 and 21, unto Shem also, the father of the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were born children. Unto Shem also, we know Shem is, again, I've just said, the patriarch of those who eventually became Israel, and the father of the children of Eber. Eber is the first person listed in the scriptures as referred to as a Hebrew. We know that two generations later, there was a man named Abraham came along, and he was called a Hebrew. So we have more than adequate proof that the white races began near the Caucasus Mountains. That's very important because my brother alluded to the fact that Smyrna is in Turkey, and this is around the region of the Black Sea from which we get the Caucasus Mountains. And then what I'm about to read now is I'm not reading from a white scholar because it is a lot of people use various different scholars, and then they don't see what the if the information does not line up with their particular doctrinal presupposition, then they say you can't listen to that scholar because that scholar is a white man, or you can't listen to Josephus because Josephus was a so-called traitor. But it amazes me that you find it convenient to use these scholars whenever you're trying to prove a point, but whenever a point is being disproved that you've made, then you want to exclude them and say that they're not reputable scholars. Well, what I'm about to read is from a book called From Babylon to Timbuktu. Everybody who's a Hebrew Israelite is pretty much familiar with this book because it was one of the books that was used in bringing the revelation to us with clarity. It is a history of ancient black races, including the black Hebrew Israelites. It says, we have more than adequate proof that the white races began near the Caucasus Mountains. And before I believe this, finish this, because I said I'm going to be through by here by 10:15, I'm moving fast toward that point, 10:20 at the latest. And please make a note of some of the things. Be careful attention because Brother Seth is going to address some of these issues. He's going to deal with us in depth with the issue of leprosy. So please just make sure when I emphasize on certain words like the Caucasus Mountains that know that this is going to connect. Every line here is just a woven tapestry that every line is threaded and is connected to the other. We dealt with the first portion of declaring who Edom is. Now we're declaring who the white man is, and Brother Seth is going to conclude with telling us how the white man became white, because we know that the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we know that all of those people, those three sons, were what we would conclude people or persons of color. There's nothing in Scripture that implies either directly or indirectly that would indicate that these three sons were three different nationalities or three different colors. It just tells us nothing about those physical appearance that make us draw those conclusions. So if you draw those conclusions, you are presuming what's in the Scripture. You are eisegesis, as we covered last week. You're adding to and you're not taking from. And we don't want to take from, we want to take from what is already there, clear and conspicuous, to add to, because the Scripture says if we do that, we'll be found a liar. So we have more than adequate proof that the white races began near the Caucasus Mountains. And from there they spread north, northwest, and northeast into Europe and Asiatic Russia. Now we know that the Japhets, Europeans, are white today. Were they originally white beginning from their ancestor Japheth, or did a change materialize in the skin color of the descendants of Japheth? This question is difficult to answer. Scientists and anthropologists have found different kinds of mutations in certain parts of the world. A physical mutation is a sudden variation of change of the offspring differing from its parents in some outstanding characteristics. Also, a major change in the chromosomes or genes that determine heredity. Blonde hair among black Australian Aborigines is an example of mutations with their white skin, woolly hair, thick lips, and Ethiopian noses. Any sudden change from the normal is to be regarded as a mutation. Now, read Leviticus 11. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. This is going to be the second time this scripture has been covered, and it's going to be covered again by Brother Seth, I'm almost certain. But I'll read it, and Leviticus chapter 13, verse 12, this is a prescription of a plan of action given to the priest from Moses, the lawgiver, who the law was given to by Yahweh, and this was how you would deal with a leprosy. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from head even to his foot, whosoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. Now, the note to be considered here, and a note of importance and significance and emphasis, is this. If the leprosy has covered all the skin, whatsoever the priest looketh, behold, he shall pronounce him what? Clean. that has the plague, it is all turned white. That means that this person was originally a person of color. His skin is now turned white from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. That means the leprosy has ran its course. This individual is now considered clean. We have a common manifestation of that and the person, the late Michael Jackson, who began on his hand, his white spots, and then began to cover the other portions of his body. People thought the man was bleaching his skins. In actuality, what he was trying to do for public appearances was combat in a disease or combat an ailment in which they had no cure that was fastly running his course. And so that's why we have, within a matter of a year, a couple of years' time, if that much, we have a man who totally Negro-like features. We do know that portion of that had to do with plastic surgery as far as his nose and his chin was concerned. But for the most part, just like his brothers and sisters, totally Negro-like features. But then all of a sudden, a few years later, we have a man who is basically almost vanilla in color. Now, this man, we don't – now, the difference is, and again, I'm not going to get into that, but Brother Seth covered that, is when you have people who we consider albinos, when they live amongst each other, cohabit amongst only each other and what they produce. Now, back to what I was covering, he said there is an Indo invasion Germanic of the Middle East between the years 2000 and 1500 B.C. These Germanic tribes intermingled with black people everywhere they traveled. This mingling made the people in Syria, Babylon, Assyria, Persia, India, and parts of Arabia much lighter in complexion. Now, remember, I just talked about the people being red in tone. And people look at some Arabians today are people of Arab descent, and they'll say, well, okay, they're red, but they're not as dark as us. Okay, there's a number of reasons for that. But again, let's deal with the scriptures. Now, the color of the people in this region ranges from brown to yellow. The Greek and Roman invasions also made these people in the Middle East lighter. Another fact we should not forget is that the Moors and Arabs from North Africa captured and raped European women. As a result, the North Africans became lighter. At one time, these people in North Africa and in the Middle East were all black, as we see, quote-unquote, and understand the word black today as it means as a definition of what it means to be people of color of African-American descent. Whites have intermingled their blood with blacks in Asia, Africa, and in the Western Hemisphere. In spite of this, the colored people of the world control about three-fourths of the Earth's geographical area. Now, remember, I'll read that again. The colored people of the world control about three-fourths of the Earth's geographical area. That doesn't mean that the colored people of the world make up three-fourths of the world's population. It means that we cover three-fourths of the world's geographical area. We still make up at least 90% of the world's population when you're speaking in reference to people of color, people who have hue to their skin, from which we get the word human, people who have the ability to produce to some degree or an extent of melanin. Because the colored people of the world are in a majority, it is proper to infer that the whites have always been a minority and that the black people are the original people of humanity. It is interesting and meaningful to learn that the Japhets European traveled northwest, north, and northeast of the mountainous region of the Caucasus into Europe. It gives me the impression that Japhets were isolated, or that they were isolated themselves from civilization and domination of Nimrod, which began in the land of Mesopotamia. Now, important point is that they were isolated or they isolated themselves. Now, as I just alluded to in this teaching, Brother Yeshua, when he talked about the people who dwelt in among us and cohabited among us as a people, if you were a leper, you didn't. If you were a leper, if you go further into reading some of the priestly prescribes for leprosy in the 13th chapter of Leviticus, you will find out that many times the people were put outside the camp. So that means that they carried a stigma to them. So, of course, they did not intermingle, live, cohabitate amongst Hebrew Israelites. Okay. When the Japhets separated, the theory and probability is that they turned white. There are many cases of individuals turning white in Jewish biblical history. When Elohim wanted to show Moses a miracle, he turned his hand white as snow. Then he turned it back again to its original color. In ancient Israel, when a man had a white spot in his skin, or white or yellow hair, or white skin somewhat reddish, he was pronounced unclean. All people who were victims of this shameful disease were isolated outside of the camp. Those that had leprosy were called lepers, and they had to shout, unclean, unclean. All people in the ancient world who had yellow hair and leprosy were dispersed and despised and segregated. This is one reason the white supremacists discriminate against the black people today. Miriam Aaron spoke against Moses and defamed his character because he married an Ethiopian woman. As a punishment, Elohim struck Miriam with leprosy and she turned white as snow. Now, many people have deceived themselves into thinking that Miriam Aaron spoke against her because she was a black woman. But this is not the case, because Miriam Aaron and Moses were all black people. They spoke against Moses because the Ethiopian woman was of a different religion, a different culture. The color issue did not exist in that day as it does in our day. To prove this point, the Israelites dwell among the Hamites, as Brother Yeshua just clarified, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hephites, and Jebusites. They intermarried. All the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and served Balaam. Because they served the idol Balaam, the Elohim of Israel became angry and sold them into slavery. It was the worshiping of the idols, not the marriages, that Elohim disproved. Marriages were forbidden because Elohim feared that the alien races would persuade the Israelites to worship their idols, as history has proven. But in Moses' case, he converted the Ethiopian woman to his religion, or to his belief. Now, and so we know that when the scripture speaks about that, it says that, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the sovereign heard. And in another case of leprosy, Elohim showed Moses some miracles to display to the children of Israel that they would believe Moses was sent by Elohim. In this case, it was Moses' hand. Now, concluding with this, Naaman and Gehazi, another story in the scriptures, and this is just a summary. It says Naaman was. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 5, you'll find this. It says that Naaman went to be healed of his leprosy, and Elisha the prophet told him to dip 7 times into the Jordan River. Naaman obeyed, and he was cured. A reward was offered Elisha the prophet, but he refused it. Of course, a servant of Elisha named Gehazi wanted the reward that his master refused. Then Gehazi ran to look for Naaman. When he found him, he asked him for the reward and said that his master had sent him. We know that was a lie. And it goes on through the story that Gehazi took the reward. When he returned back unto Elisha, being the spirit upon him, knew what Gehazi had did, and he said, therefore the leprosy that Naaman had will cleave unto you and your descendants forever. Forever is a mighty long time. I think we're still living in the forever. This type of leprosy affected the reproductive organs, the genes and chromosomes that determine heredity and characteristics in the body. This meant that all of Gehazi's children would produce white offspring. Even though he was a black man at first, this was a curse of Gehazi. As Og made a distinction, there are curses and then there are plagues. We know that Ashkenazis, now a point to be made here, when it says that all his children would produce offspring, even though he was a black man at first. Now, the point to be made here, and this again, this makes a reference to the post. A lot of people came up with this red, okay, Edom is red when the skin hits it. No. If the Bible and the person who wrote the Torah, Moses, could use the word red to define and to clearly distinguish the physical characteristics of Edom, if he meant the word white, he could have definitely used white, because he definitely used the word white when he made a reference to those who had contracted leprosy. So again, that argument makes no sense whatsoever. So now, as we know that, now we're dealing with this whole issue of Ashkenaz, because this is what this conversation started with about the people who inhabit the land of Israel, Jerusalem specifically, those who say they're Jews but are not. Now, there's a lot of things I could go into about the descendants of Japhet and how they have populated the lands called Europe, the continent of Europe. If you go to Google and put in JFAT, it'll give you all the information, and all that information, which is a secondary source, coincides with the information that is written in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10. So again, it's being consistent what is in the scriptures, And as long as it's consistent with what's in the scriptures, then we reference it. And so, again, now the issue of those who say they're Jews but are not. We know that if we read Revelations 2:8-9 and 3-9, it says those who say they're Jews but are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. It makes a reference also in 2:8. It talks about those in Smyrna. As my brother just clearly showed, and if you pick up any book on geography, pick up a world map today, then basically Smyrna is present-day Turkey, from the land of the Black Sea, from which we have, what, the Caucasus Mountains. Now, again, as we make reference to those mountains, because of the information about the fact that there was a distinction of this information came to me, not while I was trying to determine the difference between Edom and Japhet, not while I was trying to determine the descendants of Japhet, who they were, but probably some 15 years ago, while I was in a church history class in college, I had a white college professor who actually basically had designs on being a Catholic priest, but felt like that his calling was to the teaching field, so he was a professor. And during his discourse on certain aspects of church history, he made a reference to Niger. He brought up the point that many blacks in their search for identity through the scriptures want to associate themselves with Niger. And he said that is incorrect. He said that if you want to associate yourself with a clear distinction of those who are in scripture, then how about the Ethiopian church? And these were his words. He said the Ethiopian church was established well before us Christians ever had a church. He said, and I quote, while we white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, while we were in the caves and hillsides of Europe eating one another, Ethiopians had already had the first established Christian Coptic church. That came out of the mouth of a white college professor some 15, 20 years ago. And that statement pushed me in a direction of studying the scriptures to get a clear understanding. And when I studied the scriptures, I came to the conclusion that he was right, but he was wrong on a lot of points. Because he was wrong on the point that you need to look to Ethiopia. I don't need to look to Ethiopia to find some point of identification as a person of color or people in the Bible. The whole Bible is a black book. The only white people that you see referenced in the scriptures are those who were descendants of Europeans, and specifically the Romans and the Italians and the Greeks. But for the most part, everybody in the Bible were people of color. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole thing of trying to find out what it means to be a Jew. I'll just suffice to say that the word Jew should be the word you or Yehuda. It comes from the Hebrew word Yudite, those from the kingdom or from the tribe of Yehuda. Okay? Now, I'm using Hebrew terms because many of our brothers want to argue over these terms and over these words, not realizing that you need to study some things in semantics and phraseology so that you get a clear distinction as to when you're trying to get people to understand what you say. Because I don't care how deep you get on the wording, if the people who are listening are not clear as to who you're making a reference to, then you're just a tinkling sound and a brassing cymbal. You're making noise and not saying nothing. And for all of those who pay homage to the name over the truth and the principles of the word, the scripture says that he has exalted his word over his name. So on this issue of a Jew, we know that that term comes from the scripture. It is not a secular term in which it has come to be perceived as today. It is a term that comes from the tribe of Judah, or the term of the tribe of Yehuda, that eventuated to become from the southern kingdom of Israel. As a matter of fact, it's not even mentioned in the scriptures until there's a dividing between the northern and the southern kingdom. And we know the southern kingdom was populated predominantly by the tribe of Yehuda or Judah, which was the most dominant in number of all the 12 tribes, also populated by the tribe of Benjamin, which is the least of number of all the 12 tribes, and eventually became to be populated amongst the Leviticals, the Levitical tribe, and also a few in number of the other 12, of the other even 10 tribes, because it says they joined themselves to Judah. And that's where we get the term Jew from. Okay, so now we have a clarification on that. And if you want to reference it, at the first time that the term Jew was used in the scripture, the reference is in 2 Kings, I think it's 16 and 6. No, for certain, 2 Kings 16 and 6. And the Hebrew word for Judah means Judahite, or Jew, a descendant of Yehuda, that is, of Judah or Judah. So we clear on that point right there. So now, we come up to Revelations, and we have those who say they're Jews but are not, but the synagogue of Satan. By their own assertions, we know that the inhabitants of Israel who claim European Jewry, those who are called by the name of the Most High Yahweh, claim to be of Ashkenazi descent, We have already shown from clear from history that the Ashkenazis fall under the Japhetic lineage. They are the Ashkenaz is a grandson of Japheth. Ashkenaz is the son of Gomer. Okay. Also is Tegemoth, so we know those people to be Europeans. We know also historical records show evidence of Jewish. We know also in reference to this that these people came to populate what considered to be Europe. So, according to the Talmud, only reference to Talmud because it verifies this point, we do not hold the Talmud as a source of doctrinal belief. Ashkenaz thus means the country near the Black Sea between the Aryan and the Caucasus within the original region of the Khazar Empire. We know the Ashkenazis come from the Khazarian Empire. The Talmudic observation is embedded by scripture which makes Ashkenaz as a descendant not from Shem but from Japheth. There is much known in the mid-18th century about the ruling elite of the Khazars, a Turkic tribe in Eurasia or Europe. They converted to Judaism in the 7th century, as my brother covered. The impetus was political, not spiritual. By embracing Judaism, the Khazars were able to maintain their independence from rival monotheistic states, meaning what? The Muslim Caliph from the east, the Christian Byzantine Empire from the west. So, therefore, these are the people who are now calling themselves the Jews, but are not, but a synagogue of Satan. I've run over my time. I've covered as much as possible to cover the points that are needed for this particular message. Again, I refer to our audience as well as the audience of Smooth Five Smooth Stones that you can archive messages entitled The Deception of Ashkenaz, which goes into much more detail that covers this issue of Ashkenazi Jews, those people now who are inhabiting the land of Israel, specifically Jerusalem. We have that teaching, also the deception of the temple project. They're trying to build a temple, and they're going to go under the persuasion that this is the Most High temple. But if you read Zechariah, the 6th chapter, you will find that the one who is to build that temple in Jerusalem of the Most High temple, Yahweh's temple, will be none other than the Messiah himself. The people who we will employ to do that job will be the regathered Israelites from the four corners of the earth. So you can archive those messages on the Facebook page of Israel Now. The word now is spelled with two W's at the end. That's Israel Now, N-O-W-W-W, or at my own Facebook page, Gary Ellison. It's just as it says, Gary Ellison. And also you can go to Blog Talk Radio and go under Ben Israel Synagogue under the name of Yeshua, and you can archive this information. I feel like I hope I've done a decent job in leading into Brother Seth. I've brought you to the point of who the Ashkenazis is, brought you to the point who Japheth, the Europeans, who they descend from Japheth. We've discussed the issue that there is all probability by all scholars who do research, especially those scholars who are not of what I would consider Ashkenazi descent, because they make a chopped-up job with history because they're trying to verify their Zionist agenda, so they have altered many events in Scripture, so they're not the most reputable source when it comes to dealing with history. So, therefore, Brother Seth, hand it over to your hand. It is now 11:28 Eastern Time, 10:28 Central Time. For the show of those who are the listeners of Ben Israel Synagogue, our show always is scheduled for 2 hours. But as you know, today our show was scheduled later for a later time so we can incorporate our show with Brother Seth's show. And we will be staying over. So when you hear a little click, do not hang up the lines. If you want to hear the remainder of the show, do not disconnect from the Internet. It will continue on. And for those who are archiving the message, all of this show will be on archive. I now hand it in to Brother Seth. We are at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. Hopefully he'll be concluded by 11 o'clock Central Time. And that would be 12 o'clock Eastern Time. And from that point on, for the next hour of our show and the last hour of his show before he goes into overtime, we will entertain questions and comments on this issue. Brother Seth, you have the baton.
Well, I just want to thank y'all for this presentation. It really was informative, very, very, very informative. Good hearing Terry teach again, excellent teacher. So, everybody listening with Five Smooth Stones, just know that this is Ben Israel, Yisrael Synagogue. Ben Yisrael Synagogue, they broadcasting right now. I will click on if you get a chance while you're there at your computer and just kind of follow that show, all right? Brother Terry, again, very good job. I took notes even, and it's a lot of good information. It's interesting how everybody comes at this at different angles. And, Gary, you did very well, man. I'm telling you, y'all are just, I mean it, y'all really did well. I'm serious. Hopefully mine will be the shortest. I will feel really good if I don't go as long. I just feel like, what I mean by that is, I'm just going to teach on leprosy. I'm just going to share some of the things Most High is giving me on leprosy. I won't go into all the things that Brother Terry did. He came all kind of angles to prove his point. What my goal is tonight is just share one angle, just one, not five, not six, just one. And that is to take the spookiness out of leprosy, take the hatred out of leprosy. Take this, because it sounds like hatred. It sounds like racist. Y'all sound like a bunch of racists talking about white folks come from lepers. You do. But that's the furthest from the truth. It's just we've been so programmed to think white skin is the original skin till when somebody say what y'all saying, you sound like racist. So what I like to do is take that, the racism out of it and just show people that y'all not racist at all. That really the people that's listening that think they're hearing racism is the one that's the racist. And they may not even mean it. They may not even know it. But we got to get away from thinking ancient anything was white. We got to get away from thinking ancient anything was white. And I like to take two words off the table if I can. Let's quit saying white and black if it's possible. Well, at least for this session. I'm going to try my best not to say it like, I have to say it, obviously, but when I say white, there is no such thing as white people. That was some created. That is just as much a lie as y'all attacking Edomite. That's just another lie. No such thing as a black person. There's no such thing. It ain't in the Bible. We probably shouldn't say it, but we say it because, some people know what we're talking about. Truth of the matter is there's just mankind. And the Most High acknowledge us only by region. But before I jump off into this, let me just say this real quick. Five smooth stones. Folks, y'all got to go to the archives and listen to this leprosy teaching there. This ain't going to do no justice what I'm about to do. I cannot in 20 minutes share what we talked about 5 weeks straight, bringing on all types of scholars and Dr. Jewel Pookrum, who is the world's authority on melanin, which is the extreme opposite of leprosy. This is a pigmentation. She goes off into what it is, and once you understand what that is, you can understand what lack of it is. So I cannot do this no justice in 20 minutes, probably 20 days even. So I'm just going to try to just refer you here, refer you there. The first,
Brother Seth, this is going to be the only time I interject here. For those who want, because this was not supposed to be an exhaustive teaching, we wanted to deal with this issue of leprosy and references to JFAT so people could get a clear understanding on this whole issue and confusion of Edomites. I would say to our listeners, the listeners of Ben Israel Synagogue, those who are part of Five Smooth Stones already know this, if you want some very thorough, in-depth, detailed teaching on the issue of leprosy, then please go to Five Smooth Stones at Blog Talk Radio, and you can archive. It's a number of teachings on this issue in which Brother Seth has covered. And so, again, do that. We're not expecting him to be very detailed and specific and go into a lot of time. We want to make sure how this is tied in to the issue that Edom is a red man, he is not white, and that he is not the white man, Caucasian, that people look on when they see white word white. We want to deal with that. We want to deal with the issue that JFAT, that those Ashkenazis are descendants of JFAT, and clear as to how these people could have possibly become white. But a more further detailed teaching on this, please archive the message. I've known Seth for a number of years, and I've always say this. This is why I come out, consulted him on this issue, is that I don't know anybody, whether they be a scholar, a doctor, there's anybody who knows as much in detail about leprosy as Brother Seth does. So that's why I come we have solicited his services for this issue so that we can get clarity on this in three portions, dealing with Edom, dealing with JFAT, and dealing with the issue of leprosy, of how these people came white. And one note, Seth, the only reason we reference the word white because it's in the scripture. So when you do that, make sure you make a clear distinction of what the scripture making to when it says white. Because what we try to do is we try to stay with the scripture. If the scripture says white, we say white. I don't use the term black because it's not a scripture that's referred to skin color in the Bible unless it's referring to somebody who's already a color of skin, who's been exposed to the sun. But we're trying to stay according to the scripture. That's the reason why we use the word white, because the scripture says that from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he's turned white. So with that, continue on. I'm going to step out here for a minute and come right back. Hopefully by the time I'll be back way the time before you finish the message, so we can kind of moderate and get into the question and answer sessions after
right,
you finish
you
with your presentation.
Are you leaving?
No, I'm not leaving. I just need to step into another room for just a few minutes to take care of a matter, and then I'll be right back in the show.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Folks, listen, what I just want to share is, again, the archive. Listen to me 20 minutes. It's not going to do it no justice. I promise you, if you listen to the archives, buy a smooth stone. That's 5 smooth stones, and just listen to those archives. I get it all kind of ways. I mean, I come from the, you know, all type of way. We talk about melanin. We talk about vitiligo. We talk about albinism. We talk about Leviticus 13:13, which is vitiligo. We talk about 17:5, which is albinism, when Gehazi is cursed with it forever. And I'm going to talk a little fast for time's sake, okay? Now, first and foremost, I want to say this. Why is this important? Why is it important that we not teach Edom is Caucasian? Because it's a lie. That's number one. Because it's not scripture. That's number two. Because you're giving strength to white supremacy. Number three. Now, if Edom is Caucasian, Edom is Caucasian, but Caucasian is a new word. Every nation on the planet produces white people. But that just right there confused. They just threw out your whole theory right there. This is why I even have trouble with Japheth being said white man come from Japheth. No, the white man come from all the nations. Black people have white people every single day. Go to the archives and look at some of the pictures I put on my program description page, and you'll see black people having blonde hair, blue eyes, very beautiful-looking kids. So that kills the theory right there. There are several times I'm going to say that kills the theory. That kills the theory right there. White people don't come from those certain parts. White people don't come from Europe. That's not true. The Grimaldis was in Europe before white people. All people of the planet eventually produce this blonde hair, blue eye, and when that baby mixed with the people with melanin, you can pull out of melanin all of the colors, because all colors come from black hair, all hair come from black hair, all eyes come from black pupils, blue eyes, all of them. All skin come from black skin. White skin, as we know it, our white brothers and sisters, is nothing more than us. I kind of hate how we talk about white because we talk like there's something different. Folks, all of us are white. There is not a person listening to the sound of my voice that ain't white. I know I just lost all most of y'all when I said that, but watch this. When black people get vitiligo and they start losing their pigmentation and they start getting white and white and white, what color are they when they turn completely white? What color is Michael Jackson when he turned completely white? They're the same white as white people. They're the same people. The Most High only put two people in that garden. He made them out of the dust of the earth. Dust is brown. Dust is brown. I mean, you know, I don't know no other way to say it. Now, somebody said, well, how do you know that dust out there is the same dust that we're the color we are? Watch this. Before I say that, let me finish up something I just said. I just said all of us are white. What I mean is we're white under all of the pigmentation. So we have a little bit more than white people. We are white plus. They're white. We have blonde hair, black people I'm talking about. I'm talking about dark-skinned black folk, African black right now. They have blonde hair inside of that black hair. They have all types of skin inside of that black skin. They have all skin. Black eyes, inside of black eyes, there's all eyes. But inside of recessive traits, a white person can't say that inside of their blonde hair is black hair. It's not true, because it's a mutation. Now watch this. The Most High said he made men of, he said to Adam, dust thou art, and we're talking about Edomites. I'm about to really hit Edom hard, so pay attention here. He tells Adam, dust thou art. We can't see how he look, right? Dag, if we could see how he look, we would end this whole conversation, but we can't see how he look. Watch this, though. We wasn't there to see how he looked. Dust thou art, we couldn't see that. But then he said, dust shall thou return. Dust shall thou return. Good news, everybody. We can see how we look when we die. And everybody know that our white brothers and sisters, which is nothing more than us, with no pigmentation, have to be put in the ground fast because they get dark. We can rest this whole case by digging up all the dead people because they look like that dark, dark soil. I mean, not the light. I'm not talking about the under-the-ground dark soil. That's what color the people of the book is, the people of the Bible. Now, does that mean black people can celebrate? No, because some of y'all are losing hair. To lose hair is a result of sin. To be too tall to where your joints hurt 7 feet is a result of sin. To be too short to where your joints hurt is a result of sin. We have all these traits. Oh, and by the way, to lose pigmentation came as a result of sin. Let me say it another way. If we never sinned, we would live forever. There would be no really tall giant as a result of sin. There would be no midget as a result of sin. No offense to them. There would be no handicap. There would be no death. And yes, there would be no white skin people. Did y'all get that? Let me say it another way. Let me show you. That sounds cruel, don't it? But watch this. First and foremost, I love everybody. I love me some white people because white people ain't nothing more than me. I'm nothing more than them. I recognize they're nothing more than us. We are one family. Let me share a story with you real quick. I was traveling one time, flying, you know, in a plane, and I was talking to a guy, and this white guy, you know, I asked him, I say, do you want white people to live forever? And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, do you want white people to live forever? He said, well, yes. He got offended. He said, well, do you want black people to live forever? I said, well, yes, yes. I say, do you want racism to end and we just love everybody and forget color? He said, dear God, yes. Dear God, yes. I say, whatever his name was, I said, you can't have both of them. You can't have both of them, because if we love and forgot color and just mix, there will be no white people. What does this got to do with Edomites? I'm about to drive it home real quick. Edom to me is easy. Esau married Adah. Genesis 36 and 4 talks about who he married. Genesis 26 and 34 talks about who he married. Elon and Bashemet, several wives. All of them was black. Okay, if he was white, that's the end of the whole thing. That's it. That's the end of the Bible study, folks. Nice talking to y'all. I got to add a little humor to it. Y'all know me. But I'm serious. How you going to have four black women and you a white guy? I don't care how red and ruddy y'all try to, red and hairy. It don't make sense. So I wonder, where does this doctrine come from that Edom is white? Really, I'm beginning to wonder, is this a bunch of people that just have no spiritual insight? And this is not a put down, I promise you it's not. But I think a lot of times, people just get the saying stuff out of emotionalism and I mean, it never held water to me. There is no ancient white people in the Bible. There was too much mixing. The more mixing, the harder it is to have a white people come out of it. So that's why we don't say white people. Okay, think about it. In Africa, all four corners of the planet, we got white people. Every nation produced white people. What y'all going to do with these people in lands where they produce white people? They look just as white as anybody else. Now, people have told me all my life, Brother Seth, you know, I disagree with you about the whole albino thing, because when black people have albino, you can tell that they're albinos. But what happened when somebody from India has an albino? Go to the archives. I got this video of some Indian organization put an albino, a video out there, and they said, have you noticed you never saw a Pakistani albino? They said the reason why you never saw a Pakistani albino because he looked just like a white person. Go to my page right now, Five Smooth Stone, and I got some pictures of some people right now on my front page that look so white, you would not believe it, but guess what? They're not so-called white. They live in Asia. They are full-blooded, you know, Chinese, all types of people. Africa got, anyway, that's a no-brainer. I just killed it with Esau's wives. That's it. There's no way he could have had all these white people. That's why I don't believe in the whole Japheth thing. Same philosophy. How can Japheth, be the father of white people when there was mixing? He had the fewest kids. He mixed with Ham kids. It was Japheth, Shem, and I got a mental block. I'm going too fast. But Noah's three sons constantly mixed. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. They all mixed. How can a white race come out of that? Europe. White people did not go to Europe first. There's only 70 nations, and now one of them is white. All 70 nations produce white people. It's very confusing what y'all are teaching. But let me move fast. Here's something else that'll kill this whole theory. Balance the population. Are you aware there's only 8% white people right now on the planet? Balance the population. What do you mean by balance the population? White people, those in power, those wicked ones, not the ones who live next door to us, went out and killed a planet full of people. Over 500 million have died from starvation. Over 100 million lost in the Middle Passage. Millions were killed in South America. Millions of Indians were killed. If we just add those totals right there, we got over 600 million. If they had children, their children had children, and their children had children, and then you subtract, you know, people dying and all of that natural death, you will have a whole planet full of people that died before their time. If they live today, there will be 0.00000 white people. And we will be having this conversation because everybody will be trying to figure out where the white person at. That kills the theory right there. Again, we call that balancing the population. I covered that in the archives. You got to go check out the archives. That kills it. I mean, if there's 0.0000 white, how are they going to be some ancient people in the Bible? The Bible is full of nappy head, lock wearing, dark skinned people, folks. I mean, we've just been brainwashed. All of those, what we've been talking about as it relates to the scripture, is pretty much a lie when it comes down to how those people look. Again, much love and respect for all people. No hatred here. Okay? But I got so much to say, I don't know how I'm going to get all this out. But like I said, white people are too small to be an ancient people. They're too white to be an ancient people. They are our brothers and sisters. We are them. We need to quit looking at them like they're so different. They are nothing more than black people without pigmentation. And I know sometimes you have a hard time thinking about that, but I'm going to tell you what I used to do to help me get a grip on this whole teaching. Next time you see a white person, just color them black in your mind. And you will say, ooh. If they were black, they look just like this person. They look just like my aunt. Those are our people. We are the same. There's only 70 nations, and they was not divided based upon color. Don't let this whole European thing, we keep talking about European this, European that. Well, Why? How do you know we should call white people European when they weren't there first? Another philosophy. Red and Harry. There's over a billion. The scriptures talk about Esau being red and hairy. Watch this. There's over a billion people in India, way more hairy than white people. And they're even more redder. How y'all get off calling white people the red and hairy people? When India got more people in it than all the United States and Europe probably combined, and they got more hairy guys. I went to India. I'm telling you, Harry, oh, my goodness. Don't let a few white guys, you know, with their shirt off. Come on, we just look at too much white supremacy. We'll get shoved down our throat, white images, and we think everything, they're only 8% after all of the genocide of this whole planet worth of people. It's still only 8%. 92% of this planet is non-white. I've had the privilege of traveling to 25 countries. And I'm shocked. And when that plane lands anywhere in that Pacific or pretty much anywhere outside of Europe and the United States, it's always indigenous people, dark-skinned people. It just blew me away. It's the planet is so dark, it'll just scare you. We've been lied to. We've been lied to. So I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to see so many notes I have here. I don't know which way to go. But I will say this, folks. We got to be very careful. Show people love. We need to quit talking about white people as though they're some different, vicious, wicked. White people can't touch the wicked of our foreparents before Europe was even a baby. The Most High destroyed a whole planet full of dust-colored people. We started it all. We've been the most wicked, the most righteous. Okay, they enslaved us, and it was worse slavery and all that, but don't forget the Most High destroyed a whole planet. These are our fellow humans. We all are one family as far as the human family, but there is that division of nations, and different nations do have certain callings, and they're going to be judged. Some nations are going to be judged, but I'm not so sure that one of the 70 nations is a white nation. They just don't have the numbers. It just don't make sense. They too much like us. What are you going to do with the white people in Chad? I mean, they've shown up white. I mean, again, look at the archives and you're going to see pictures of people. They look as white people can look. I'm not talking about all of them looking like albinos either. What are you going to do with them people? Where are you going to put them at? Are they Europeans sitting up there born in Africa? What do you do about white people, blonde hair, blue eyed, and they born in India? Your philosophy is tainted. Your philosophy is tainted, and anytime you're preaching something that doesn't line up with Scripture, you're going to cause confusion. People are going to say it don't make sense. And I'm telling you, when I teach leprosy right now, I'm going to put it on the spot. There is a young lady that follows me, and she loves the teaching. She loves it. And she's probably listening right now. Actually, I see her in the chat room right now. But white people ain't going to run from you if you just tell the truth. And they know you care about them, and they know you love them. But if you're preaching hatred, I mean, who would listen to you talk about, you know, you know, yes, I know that, you know, slavery happened, but slavery is not off. The author of slavery is not white people. The author of slavery is Yahweh, all the different names you call him. He's the one that orchestrated our slavery. Now, don't get me wrong, I ain't no Uncle Tom, I ain't kissing up to nobody. I got a white sister right now in the chat room, probably more, and I ain't kissing up to her, nobody else. But I'm saying we got to tell the truth. We got to tell the truth. He said that there will be a nation. He said, I would hiss to the, in Joel 2, he said, I would hiss to the nations to come and enslave you. It's our foreparents that put us in this situation. So, again, white people don't have the numbers. They're not an ancient anything. I don't care nothing about no Rome. I don't care what y'all hear about all this history. You keep going back further enough, they disappear as a people. And I talk to white people just like I'm talking to you. We are all white. It's just most of us have pigmentation. And that pigmentation ain't no joke. It's something in that melanin. The sun is not our enemy, but it is the enemy of those that don't have the pigmentation, just like losing hair. It has its drawbacks. Being too tall has its drawback. A woman that can't have children, anything that come out of sin. And yes, my friends, to not have your body covered with melanin is due to sin. So nothing ancient in that book is white. None of the prophets were white, except they were smitten with leprosy. It's a very dark-skinned book. Talking about Yeshua's hair, lamb wool. All of the prophets' hair was lamb wool. How do you know that, brother Seth? Prophets was the most high, well, the Christ in his form of glory, because I don't believe Yahweh was the God of the Old Testament. It was Christ in his form of glory. The scripture was talking about how that one of the prophets was grabbed by his locks. But every time it's talk about a depiction of color, it's always black. It's only a few times in the Bible it says, and his belly was white. But that, if you look it up, later on it talks about his legs was like beryl or something. Is he a zebra? No. These were dark-skinned people. And if we present this right, because I'm going to tell y'all something, this, and I'm done. I told you I want to try to be the shortest. If we present this right, the nations of the world will embrace this. This is the only way Israel is going to rise and be and take her place. If we talk about Esau and try to talk like he's a devil, like some of y'all, you say he Esau, the white man is Esau, then you try to make him like they're the devil and all this stuff. What the white man has done to us, the Most High sent him, hissed him. I will hiss to the nation of the north. Lo, he that coming from the north. The north, the north, the north. The Most High called them. Why are you going to be upset with them? Now, they are going to be judged because some of them took it too far, the slavery. Enslaving us is one thing, sleeping with our men, men sleeping with men, they're breaking up our families. So this is why America is cursed, because they took it too far. I can't get a chance to go all into the different scriptures to bring it out, but this is pretty much all I'm saying. If we present this thing right, white people don't mind you saying they already know there's something up with their skin. It's why they're toasting themselves in these, you know, trying to get dark. They already know. They live with the skin. They know what the sun does, and the sun is no joke. Melanoma kills. So they already know the deficiency of their skin. If you just have a little love and let them know that they're our brother and sister and their deficiency ain't no less important than not having hair or being too tall or being too short or not being able to produce children, we all suffer from the effects of sin. If you present that to them like that, you can win your brother. I'm done.
Brother Seth, I'm done. Everybody that is listening to Ben Israel Synagogue, you just heard that, I don't know if you heard that thing that alert saying 90 seconds. We are actually, you started at... we are actually, I believe we're over that. Rabbi Yeshua, where are we at on time? Rabbi Yeshua.
He said 60 seconds.
Can you hear me? Okay, we just ran out of time, but we can still talk and answer any questions if we have them. But anything else from here on out will not be recorded. I don't believe it'll cut us off since it hasn't cut us off yet. But I believe we can still talk and answer any questions. If anyone have a question or comment or anything, just push number one. We'll get you right on.
Correction.
Are you sure? Are there callers on the line?
Yeah, we have some callers on the line. Nobody has actually raised their hand to answer a question, though. So.
Correction. Brother Terry. We continue to record. When they listed on the archives, they will hear everything we're saying. But everybody on the internet has just got knocked off. The reason I know is The reason I know is you look at a lot of the shows right now, if you want to click over and just pull it up, you'll see some of my shows are an hour and 50 minutes, an hour, and it can't be like that unless that's true.
Are your bills piling up? Filing bankruptcy may help your financial situation. Connect now and find out more. Get a free bankruptcy evaluation by a local attorney today. Press the star key now to be connected to Total Bankruptcy.
Sorry about that. Can everybody hear us still? It cut us off. Let's see how we're going to do this. How did that happen? Let's see here. Maybe Gary had to put me on a three-way. Okay, now what happened? My show's going 9 to 11. I should be able to go over. If y'all can still hear me, let me see here. If you can still hear me in the chat room, please just say I can still hear you. I don't know if anybody can hear me, but if y'all can hear me in the chat room, just say I can hear you, brother, and I'd appreciate it. But in the meantime, if you're on the phone lines, I know you can hear me. I think what I'm going to do is, if you're on the phone lines, I know you can hear me. That was Ben Yisrael Synagogue, okay, and they are still streaming. And I'm just trying to figure out how we can call them. I think what I'm going to have to do is have them to call me on the three-way. So y'all just bear with me, okay? Just give them a minute. I'm going to go ahead and play a song here, and then we'll come back. That'll give you a little something to preoccupy your mind why I do this. Just give me 1 second.
But he winds up
Trying to connect with for the rest of the show. These brothers are going to be taking phone calls, and I don't want y'all to miss out on that. So just bear with me while I try to tune in with them. Just give me a second. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play another song here while we try to do that. Hello? Bear with me here. Let me play another song here. Then we'll hopefully by the time this next song ends, we'll be able to connect with those brothers. Anyway, I'm having a hard time connecting, so hopefully I just left a message for them to call us back. We're not going to give up. They have like another hour of show, and so that's going to be a lot of information. Otherwise, if it's just a few minutes, I wouldn't even try to connect us. But we have about another hour, and they're going to go over. So that's what we're trying to accomplish right now. But what do y'all think of the show? Those of you in the chat room, what do you think of the show? Those of you on the phone lines, you can press 1. Comment, I appreciate it. I thought it was very interesting. I enjoyed Brother Yahshua. I call him Terry, but Brother Yahshua and Brother Gary, they are always sharing just key information. So I'm trying to see here. Okay, I think what we'll do is we'll just try to, I don't know how this kind of sound, but we'll do a three-way here. But like I was saying, I'll just make this point while I'm looking up this number. Like I was saying, the most important thing, the most I never, ever was interested in Israel just because of bloodline. It had to do with faithful Abraham. That's how it all started. And that's how it's going to end. He's looking for a people that has the heart, has the obedience, and has the perseverance that Abraham had in trying to please him. And I hope y'all understand that that is true, what Brother Seth is all about. Now, I may not always represent that in my own, you know, as a believer myself in the best example possible, but I'm working on it. But I just want everybody to know that he is not interested in the physical description of Edom or Edomites or this conversation. The reason I share what I shared was because I just don't want white supremacy to get us foothold in our resurrection as a people, as a nation. It's very important we understand that book is full of dust color. Hold on 1 second. Brother Gary, are you able to put me on speaker and we keep stay connected? I want to hear those questions. Okay, because y'all went over so far? Okay, that makes sense. All right. Well, listen, we'll talk later, man. I still got a few minutes to go. Bye-bye. All right, Neville's Brother Gary of Ben Israel Synagogue. So their show ended, so I'm going to go ahead and end this for tonight. it was good while it lasted. They got an hour startup on us, as you know, with the mix-up in time, so they actually been on longer than what they're supposed to be. So we just now coming up on 2 hours, whereas they're coming up on 3 hours, so that's why it cut off. So, again, thank you, everybody, and we're going to go ahead and close out. So I think what I'll do is if we can get queue up one more song here that's related to what's going on here, and it looks like my computer's stuck. Try one more thing. But I just enjoy Brother Terry. Y'all get a chance, listen to the blog again. That brother went over a lot of stuff, and he does that. He hits so many topics, and you're just not going to hear very many people that just go throughout the Old Testament and, well, the way he does. And then Brother Gary with his take, a completely different angle. And then, of course, me sharing the leprosy piece. And y'all have heard the leprosy, but I bet you probably hadn't heard some of the angles that Brother Terry and Brother Gary took. So go over to Ben Yisrael Synagogue and make sure y'all check out the things that they was talking about, okay? But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and just wrap this show up. I'm having a hard time pulling up these, well, maybe not. I think it's coming up here. We're going to go ahead and end out with Kirk Frank, and this is it. And I just want to thank everybody. And have a good night. Shalom.
Check it out, y'all.
I've been counting my life.
I'm tired and I want to give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why is the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now.
Survive.
If you're a survivor, get up. Let's get it.
Let it breathe.